Let's turn now in the scriptures to Matthew and chapter 5. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll be continuing with our study through the Sermon on the Mount. Coming now to verse 5. Matthew chapter 5, we could read from the beginning of the chapter just to put the verse in context. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And especially these words, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. What does it mean to be meek? It's not maybe a word that we use very often. Maybe the children are not familiar with it, this word, to be meek. What does it mean? Really, it means to behave as though you are less worthy, less important, less significant than other people. That's the point. To behave, to conduct yourself as someone who is less important rather than more important compared to those around you. And now we must ask the question, well, is that a good thing? Because here we see a crucial fault line between our world, our culture, our society, and the Word of God. Our culture says that's a bad thing. Our culture says it's good to push yourself forward. It's good to think yourself special, to think yourself important. You children will get it, no doubt, in school. Believe in yourself. That's the message of our society. And if you want to get on in the working world, if you want to advance yourself in this society, that's the kind of philosophy that you have to embrace. Believe in yourself. But the Word of God says something completely different. It says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who don't believe in themselves. Blessed are those who put themselves down rather than try to push themselves forward. And so you must ask where you stand. On which side of this gulf do you stand? Do you agree with our society, our culture, or do you agree with the Word of God? The Word says, blessed are the meek. You know, previously, we've been discussing in Matthew's Gospel the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in the Sermon on the Mount, we're coming to consider the identity of the true Christian. And here's a crucial part of that identity. The true Christian is meek. And we'll take that as our theme for a few moments this morning. The true Christian is meek. And as we've been saying before, there's a logical development to these Beatitudes. We considered firstly how the true Christian is poor in spirit. Inside himself, he doesn't feel that sense of value, that sense of importance. He knows he's a sinner. Then we considered the true Christian mourns as a result of that poverty in spirit. Therefore, he mourns over his sin. Now we come to consider the true Christian is meek. You see how it follows on so naturally. We've been considering the inward aspects of it. Now meekness, this is the outward behaviour that results. If truly we know ourselves to be sinners, if truly we mourn over our sins, how then must we live our lives? The Word of God tells us, blessed are the meek. And that is what we'll consider for a few moments this morning. The true Christian is meek. But firstly, let's see how this sets us apart from the world. The world is not meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we've said already that to be meek is to behave, to conduct yourself as someone who's less important. But that is not the attitude of our society. That involves, first of all, an attitude towards yourself, a way of looking at yourself. And that's not the world's attitude. The world looks at itself and thinks, I'm special. I'm valuable. I'm worthy. There's an attitude of complaint, of resentment almost. I haven't had what I deserve. I haven't advanced as much as I should have in this life. And it's a sad thing when you listen to worldly conversation. There's so often that note of discontentment. You hear it even amongst people who've been very famous, very successful in this world's terms. There's always that note of discontentment. That feeling, well, I haven't quite had what really I deserved. I should have been even more successful. I should have had even more praise, even more applause, even more money. And the world thinks that that's a good thing. It's good to have a view of yourself like that, to believe in yourself, to think yourself special. It's good to have self-esteem, says the world. Well, that's the attitude of the world. But we see how fundamental that difference is between the world and the true Christian. The world looks at itself and says, I've not had what I deserve. The true Christian looks at himself and says, I deserve nothing. Don't you see how crucial that difference is? The true Christian says, I deserve nothing. I am a wicked sinner. I am someone who's got much reason to mourn over my sins. I deserve no shelter, no food, no comfort, no friendship. I deserve to be rejected. I deserve to be scorned. I deserve to be punished. I deserve nothing. That's the attitude of the true Christian. And really, you see, it's only in Jesus Christ that you and I can really deserve anything at all. In ourselves, we deserve nothing. And that's the attitude to self that meekness brings. And then again, it comes out in the attitude to others. And again, this will naturally follow. If we consider ourselves to be worth nothing, then we must look at others and see them as being more worthy and more deserving than ourselves. Again, that's so different from the world. The world's attitude is, well, you push yourself forward. You beat back the competition. You have your sharp elbows. And so you advance yourself. And so you prosper yourself. The world says, blessed are the pushers. Blessed are the assertive. When did that become a good thing, to be assertive? Blessed are the assertive, says our world. Blessed are those who are aggressive. Blessed are those who are able to win arguments, who are able to put other people down, who are able to get their point across. It's an attitude that says, I'm in charge. I will advance myself. It's that attitude that's summed up in a Victorian poem. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Fundamentally, it's a rejection of the authority of God. It's saying God doesn't matter. All that matters in my life is me, is what I want, and whether I can push myself forward to achieve it. And don't you see the contrast with this of an attitude of meekness? We saw it brought out beautifully in the passage we were reading about Moses. Moses was a man of meekness, a man who looked at other people and who sought to push them to the front and to give them honour rather than himself. When Moses was called upon, you remember, to lead the people of Israel, he was saying, no, no, there must be someone else. There must be someone else to take this position of honour, to have this position of responsibility. I'm not one to push myself forward. And we see it again when he was confronted by his brother and his sister, by Aaron and by Miriam. And they were challenging him. Are you the only one that God speaks by? Are you the only one who's got the right to lead? Moses was giving no answer. Moses was not standing up for himself. It was an attitude of meekness. And you see, the world is not a meek place. The world doesn't value that. It doesn't respect it. You see how fundamentally it comes down to a difference of attitude. The world sees there is no God, there is no authority, therefore it's only as far as I can push myself that I will ever advance. Therefore, if I'm going to achieve anything, it's only going to be by my efforts. That's the worldly attitude. Whereas by contrast, the Christian says, I trust in God, I trust in Him that He will give me what is good, and what I need, I rest on Him. And so there's a fundamental difference. The world has to assert itself because there's no one else who's going to help you. The Christian trusts in God. And so you see, the Christian has a real foundation for an attitude of meekness. A proper foundation. Trusting that the Lord is in control and that we don't need to fight our own battles because the Lord is able to sustain us and to give us what we need. If you're a believer today, ask yourself this. Do you really trust that God is in control of your life? Do you really trust that He will give you what is good and right for you? That what you've had is quite sufficient? That you've got no right at all to look back at your life and be resentful and say, if only I did this or if only I did that. But to see every good thing that you have had as coming straight from God, as a gift from Him, as an undeserved privilege. Don't you see how different this attitude is from the attitude of the world? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. That's the attitude of meekness. And here is something that marks out the true believer in the midst of a sinful world. Oh, if we are Christians, then we must have this mark. This mark that identifies us in the midst of a sinful world. Blessed are the meek. So we see then, firstly, the world is not meek. But let's come to see, secondly, the positive quality that we are speaking of. The true Christian is meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It starts, as we've said, from an attitude towards yourself. And it's the attitude exemplified by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said to His followers, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Even the Lord Jesus Himself, who was perfect, He said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." The Lord Jesus Himself recognized that apart from the Spirit of God, apart from God working through Him, He was but human flesh. And therefore He could achieve nothing were it not for the power of God. The Lord Jesus Christ recognized the meekness that belongs to human flesh. And if He who was perfect could recognize that, then how much more we? Because the difference is, we are actually sinful. We have done what is wicked. And if you're a true Christian, then you know that. You know that your soul is wicked, that it's contaminated with sin, that you've committed so many vile atrocities and acts of rebellion against God that you deserve His punishment now in an instant of time. You are truly poor in spirit. You truly mourn over your sins, and therefore you are truly meek. You recognize, I deserve nothing. And therefore you must trust in God. Trust in Him who alone can give you what you need to sustain you. It's like the prophet Isaiah says, "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." Oh, is this you that's being described? See what we're asking. We're not asking, are you a polite, courteous, respectful kind of person? Do you have that outwardly humble character? That is not what we're getting at here. That's not enough. We're getting at something much more fundamental. We're asking, do you inside yourself recognize yourself as a wicked sinner who deserves nothing? That's the point. That's the question. If you do, then that must naturally start to express itself in courteous, respectful, humble behaviour. But it starts inside. We're not asking, are you a nice person? We're asking, do you recognise yourself to be not nice, but wicked and vile? And that's the starting point of the true Christian life. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. And that will come out then in your conduct and behaviour. So it's an attitude towards yourself that then expresses itself as an attitude towards others. If you really believe, I am the chief of sinners. If you really believe, I am not deserving of the least of God's mercies. If that's your attitude to yourself, then there must be that respectful attitude towards others. That attitude of meekness. It must be real. Not just some pretense, not just a show, but something real. Like the Apostle Peter says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You see how this isn't something you can just put on. To be truly meek towards yourself, towards others, this can only arise from that inward realization, I am sinful, God is holy. That inward realization, and that is the work of God's Spirit. That's what God does when he comes into the heart and when he changes the heart. To open your eyes to see your sin, to open your eyes to see Jesus Christ in all his purity and in all his holiness. And you see, fundamentally, someone who is meek is someone who's trusting, not in themselves, but rather trusting in Jesus Christ. That's the point. Blessed are the meek, because they don't believe I will earn salvation. Blessed are the meek, because they recognize Jesus must do it for me, because I cannot do it myself. Blessed are the meek, because they are the ones putting into practice, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see how this is so fundamental. Either you believe in yourself, or you believe in Christ. There's really no other option at all. Either somehow you're trusting that at last you'll be good enough, or you're recognizing, I am not good enough, but Christ is. And this must be of the Spirit of God, to open up our eyes to see Jesus in all his sufficiency, as Lord, as Saviour, and as Master, as the one who truly can save. Or do you walk in this faith? Are you one who is sustained with this inward faith? We have many lovely pictures running through Scripture of what true Christian meekness looks like. You think, for example, of Abraham, when there was that dispute between some of his shepherds and herdsmen and some of those who were employed by his nephew Lot. Abraham said to Lot, where would you rather go? Where would you rather have your herds, have your flocks, have your land? You choose. And so Lot, he made his choice. He chose the cities of the plain. He chose to go and live amongst Sodom and amongst Gomorrah. And Abraham, he chose the hills. He chose the place away from the sinful world. He chose the alternative. He was meek. David, you remember David, anointed by the Lord as king. Surely, if anything would entitle you to assert yourself, to push yourself forward, it would be the Lord appointing you to be the king over Israel. But no. David rather adopted an attitude of meekness, of humility, not pushing himself forward, rather waiting for the Lord's time, when the Lord would lead him to the throne of Israel. And though he was pursued by wicked Saul, though he was threatened with death, threatened with murder, yet he would not take up arms against God's anointed king. He would not fight against God's anointed, but he would wait upon God's time. Think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah speaking faithfully the word of God. And think of the abuse that he was getting. No one believed him. No one was listening. No one was repenting as he preached faithfully to the city of Jerusalem against their sins. He didn't get angry with them. He did not rebuke them in a vile or wicked way. He was solemn. He was faithful. He was consistent. And he waited on the Lord to bless his message and to make it effectual to the salvation of souls. You see the point? We walk in meekness because our faith is in God, not in ourselves. It's the difference between trusting self and trusting God. And the word says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Oh, are you walking in this faith? Are you one of those who is blessed in our passage? The world is not meek. The true Christian is meek. And that brings us then thirdly to see the true Christian will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek have an inheritance. It's a strange concept, isn't it? Those who are humble in this world, those who recognize they don't deserve anything, those who do not answer back, who do not push themselves forward, they are the ones with an inheritance. They are the ones with a prospect before them, with a great expectation of glory that is yet to come. They are the true heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We feel ourselves to be nothing now, and in ourselves we are nothing. But you see, in Jesus Christ, we are changed. In Jesus Christ, we are made pure and made holy. And therefore, in Jesus Christ, we have an inheritance. We have a hope of God's blessing that is yet to come. It's like the writer to the Hebrews puts it, speaking of the Christians of his day, ye took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Now, how would you cope if you were going to lose your home, your income, your bank account for the sake of the kingdom of heaven? Could you cope with that? Would you be willing, ultimately, to sacrifice your worldly goods, precious as they are to each one of us? Would you be willing to give them up for the kingdom? This is the point he's making. He's saying they took it joyfully, the persecuted Christians, because they knew that they had an inheritance that was yet to come. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And you and I might well examine ourselves regarding how much our hearts are tied to the things of this world. When we think of the inheritance that is yet to come, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And let's be clear, we don't deserve what we have in this life. It's just a gift to us. It's just God's mercy. It can be taken away in a moment. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We walk on as those who are looking for something so much better. In Jesus Christ, an everlasting inheritance. And see what this inheritance is. It's the earth. They shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? We're told in Scripture that this world is going to pass away, that everything in it is to be burned up, the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll, all will pass away. But all will be made anew. They will be remade as the new heavens and the new earth. And what that tells us is that what is good and what is valuable in this present world, what truly is worthwhile, will be remade anew and will be part of that blessed inheritance. So everything that is truly good and worthwhile and valuable, that will continue in the everlasting kingdom of Christ. It will be part of the new heavens and the new earth. And therefore it will be yours if you are one of these meek people who are blessed in this passage. You will have that joy everlasting. That joy, that privilege of enjoying God's pleasure and God's provision, if you are one of these who is so described. It's like we were singing in Psalm 37, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." And later in the same psalm, "The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever." So you see, for you and I, there is a prospect of joy yet to come. The enjoyment of all God's mercy and kindness and goodness for all eternity. Therefore, what does that mean for our present lives? Therefore, let us trust him. You see, what we've been emphasizing all through, the meekness, the outward behavior, that starts in the heart. It starts with a true attitude, no confidence in self, all confidence in Christ. It starts with faith. So therefore, let us walk in faith. Let us trust him. Let us trust that he deserves all goodness and that he will grant to us all the goodness that we need in due time. Let us trust him for our provision in this life, but more importantly, let's trust him for his provision in the world to come. As the Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." And as you and I share that same faith, as we trust like Abraham trusted, then we truly have our inheritance yet to come. Let us walk in faith and find that God is faithful to vindicate that faith and to bless us with all provision in his time. The true Christian is meek. Just as we finish, a couple of thoughts of application. We must examine ourselves to see if we have this meekness. We must look at our behavior, at our conduct. Are we meek, or are we ultimately focused on pride and focused on self? Here's a vital mark of the true Christian. And maybe it's time we took a long, hard look at ourselves and examined our conduct in the light of the Word of God. Oh, if we truly trust in Jesus Christ, then let us live as those who trust, as those who walk in meekness. Meekness towards ourselves, towards other people. Meekness not pushing ourselves forward, but rather recognizing God is in control and he is worthy of our trust. If we do not have that meekness, and if we recognize, I am not meek like that, I don't recognize myself as deserving of nothing, then recognize we need to begin with the absolute basics, the basic of faith itself. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the starting point of the gospel. Believe not in yourself, but in one who can do it for you. You must come to the Lord and ask him to give you that faith to trust in Jesus for the salvation of your soul. Oh, may God be pleased to bring each one of us to this realization so that we would find everlasting life in his Son. Amen. May God bless to us his precious word of truth.